where God's will is going to be perfectly done, right? There won't be any death. There won't be any, and there won't be corrupt politicians, and there won't be, you know, dictators, and there won't be mass murderers and at the head of countries, right? It will. This imperfect world is going to be done away with, but we live in an imperfect world, and Paul tells us in Romans 13 how to live in an imperfect world. First of all, this is very interesting. He says, everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities. The word actually is exousia, authorities. All right, governing was added by the NIV. There is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Now look at that. That is the Bible. That is the text. That is Paul the Apostle's word under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to tell us that every authority that exists on this planet was put in place by God. They all exist because God allows them to exist and allows them to have their space, right? And we are not above those authorities. We live in this world, right? And we are subject to authorities. And these authorities are authorities placed by God. And we don't say, well, I'm a kingdom person, therefore I don't have to obey President Obama or the Senate or our local police. Okay, I can't walk around pretending to be above the government, above the law. That's what Paul's talking about. We are not above the law. We are not above secular authorities. But what Paul does not say about these authorities is that they are good or righteous. He does not say, submit to them because they're right. He doesn't say submit to them because they are righteous, right? He just says submit to them because God put them in authority. God allows that authority to exist. They are established by God, and that is the basis of our submission, period. It is not a matter of us saying, well, you know, they must be right because they're in authority. I never would say that. I would never say that they are righteous or they are good or they are, you know, right in their judgments because they're in authority. I understand they are authorities that God put in place, and Scripture tells me I must submit to them. We need to think about those authories that Paul lived in. He said, well, you know, maybe Paul didn't have to live under people like we do. We got these crazy politicians who are, you know, we're doing all this terrible stuff. Well, one of the people that Paul lived under was a man named Nero. Nero was the emperor of Rome. He was a horrible human being. He was insane, literally, probably out of his mind, demonically possessed more than likely. The story goes that Rome burned. There was a fire and all these little houses built and a good portion of Rome burned, and he played his little violin. When they finally killed him, the only thing he said is, "The world has lost a great artist." You know, he was, but he blamed Christians for this great fire, and he blamed them, and he started executing Christians, and he would have them slit open and put, you know, food in them, and then let the pigs go after them, tear them apart. He would put them on a pike and dip them in tar, and at night light them on fire to light up his gardens. He was a brutal, horrible person, and he attacked Christians. You know, like you heard about this shooting the other day. Are you a Christian? And bam. That's the kind of demonic power that was in the leader of Rome, the emperor of Rome, right? You know, he's never mentioned in Scripture. It's one of the interesting things is, as much as sometimes we want to talk about politics, and you know I usually don't, Nero is never mentioned in Scripture. This great persecutor of the church, this person that executed Paul and executed Peter, he is never mentioned in Scripture. He is a, you know, a person that did all this harm, and yet Paul says we are to submit to authorities because they are placed in position by God. We do have some other places where Jesus, for example, warned the fellows. He said, watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees and that of Herod. Kind of interesting, the idea of the yeast of Pharisees and of Herod. And in other words, the teachings, the things that come out of politics and these false leaders. When they told Jesus that Herod wanted to see him, he said, go tell that fox. He didn't, you know, respond kindly to him. But it was Herod who, at the same time, another leader at the time, persecuted the church, put Peter in prison, and was allowing certain leaders to be killed, like Stephen. So we're told to obey authorities, to submit to them. Consequently, he who rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. I need somebody who knows. Glenn, you know the building. Go downstairs to the boiler room. Listen, there's a switch on the wall. You need to turn it off. Otherwise, we're going to cook up here. Yeah, it just turns off the boiler. Things going full blast. Okay. So again, we're supposed to submit to these authorities. And he says, if you rebel against an authority, you're rebelling against God who instituted that authority. Now, here it is. You know, first of all, we have to understand how this world works. I mentioned this world is temporary. This world, again, these authorities are not called good. They're not called holy. Okay, they are authorities that are in place for now, and God allows them to exist. Sometimes God allows these authorities to exist because the people of a particular land deserve judgment. I actually believe that you know, this nation is ripe for judgment. The United States of America, who's been killing babies for 40 years, is now, you know, bowing to homosexuality and so many other evils that take place. We are exporting horrible theology to the world. We are destroying the church. We are throwing God out of schools, out of courtrooms. We're getting rid of God out of the public square. And I would say we are ripe for judgment. And to be honest, we might deserve Don Trump as our president. I mean, it really, because we are ripe for judgment. And God establishes these judgments. God, you know, allows them to come up. He also knows that this world has to come to an end. And the only way this world, if you read the book of Revelation, the only way it comes to end is when evil powers rise up. They take control of the economy, they take in control of the legislature, of the courts, and eventually they, you know, persecute everything that is Christian, and they fall the whole thing under judgment, right? So again, our role is not to mount up an army. Our role is not to gather together. What are we going to do about these people? Take up arms and go after them. Now, I say that because you think, well, who would ever think such a thing? Well, it's been done. It's been done in the name of Jesus Christ, right? You ever heard of the Crusades? It was done. They literally joined under kings and went out as soldiers in the name of Christ, killing people. That is not our role, right? Now, but that wasn't new to the they've been reading the Bible at that time. They would say, wait a minute, this is totally against what Scripture says. This is totally, you know, wrong in God's eyes. And we've worn that blemish on our record for 1,000 years, that, well, you Christians killed Muslims. And it's true, because they weren't following Scripture. They weren't obeying God when they did it. It was a total rebellion against God and against Scripture to mount up an army, do it. And that was nothing new. Like I said, in the period of the Intertestament time, there were the Zealots who rose up against the Greeks. The Maccabees, they rose up against the Greeks. And then in just about 20 years after Paul wrote this, again, the Jewish community rose up against Rome and brought Rome down upon them and destroyed Israel. Okay? But one of the tactics that had kind of been in the religious circles was this idea of we'll mount up an army, we'll attack, we'll stop the evil powers that are taking over. And Paul's saying to us, that's not our role. We're not supposed to rebel against the authorities. We're not supposed to, stop what God is doing at this present time. What is our role? Of course, our role is, he's given it to us all before this. Preach the gospel. How will they believe? How will they call on someone they don't believe? How will they believe on someone unless they hear? How will they hear unless they preach? How will they preach unless they're sent? That's our role. Our role is to proclaim Christ. Our role is to share Jesus Christ with the world, not to attack government institutions and not to try to, prop up political leaders. Our role is to maintain the gospel, present it, to represent Christ now, not to rebel against temporary authorities. So he says, rebellion, and again, I think in this context, he was talking about a real political sense of what people were being told, that you had the Jewish community wanting to rebel against Rome. And, Rome was evil. You had Nero. You had some really evil emperors. And Paul's setting for all time, no, that's not our role. We don't take this kingdom by force. Why? This is not our kingdom. When Jesus stood before Pilate, he told him, if my kingdom were of this world, I would fight for it. But my kingdom's not of this world, right? Our kingdom is not of this world. I weep over America. I don't want to rise up with arms and attack them. I weep for them because of the immoral decisions they make. I weep for them because of the millions of babies that we kill without any conscience. I weep for them that even when they start parting off these little parts to people, there's no conscience that says this is an outrage, this is immoral, this is sick. I weep for this nation. I pray for this nation to repent. But my role and our role is never to charge against them, to fight against them, even when they make evil decisions. These are the five that said homosexuality should be a part of our culture. Now, here's the point. Paul doesn't say, I have to agree with them. He doesn't say, I have to say they are right. I do not have to call what is evil good. And I do not call what is good evil. And it is good to say that the Word of God tells us, for example, that homosexuality is a sin, that it's wrong, that it degrades the human being to a point that is even, abhorrent to nature. And yet our leaders have said that it's okay. But they're up against Scripture. See, what I stand for, I don't stand against the Supreme Court. I don't stand against the United States of America. I don't stand against any of it. I stand for the truth of Scripture. And when they say that Scripture, or when they contradict Scripture, or when they say something that's contrary to Scripture, then I stand in the name of Jesus and say, I believe in what the Scripture says. I believe in what God says. And I don't bow to you on the basis of God's teachings, God's truth. And if that were to cause me to go before them, and if it were to cause me to be, put on trial, right, it wouldn't be the first time in history. There is, during, a generation or so after Paul, there was a man named Chariton, and Charito was his wife, and Chariton was asked the simple question, are you a Christian? And he said, yes. And then they asked Charito, are you a Christian? And they said, yes. And based upon the evidence that they offered that they were Christian, it was against the Roman law for them to be Christians, and they were taken out and they were executed. They didn't rebel against Rome. They never incited a riot against Rome. They never took up arms against Rome. And when Rome said, because you're a Christian, you have to die, they died. That's the testimony that Paul left behind as well. We don't know his words. We don't know what was done. I just know the last words that he wrote to Timothy about his own death. You know, he was going to die at the hands of Rome. He was going to die at the sword of their sense of justice. And he writes to Timothy, he said, Timothy, I have run my race. I have finished my course. And now there is set up for me a crown of glory. Not for me only, but for all of those who hold to the faith until the end. Now, in other words, Paul saw his mission. My mission was to preach the word. My mission was to teach the word. When Paul stood in front of bad leaders, he treated them with respect. When he talked to Felix, he said, sir, I know you've been a judge for this, you know, over this land for many years, and began to profess his innocence. He stood in front of another governor, and he told them the same thing. He called them, you know, the most excellent rulers and such. He spoke to them with respect. He spoke with them with honor, right? But he never compromised who he was. He never compromised the message. Here's an interesting thing. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right, and he will commend you. Now, there are degrees of authority. I definitely do not think Paul was talking about the Roman court that was going to cut his head off, because they were going to kill him, and they did kill Peter as well, and they killed many other Christians. I think what he's talking about at this level is, you know, the authority of traffic laws, the authority of laws that protect personal property, laws that protect your personal safety, right? I mean, one of the hard things about living in Detroit is we don't always have the protection we would like. We have people that are sometimes out of their mind on this side, and you know if they go off, there's really nobody between you and them. There's no police coming. There's no, you know, force unless there's blood. That's what, you know, they used to ask us. If you said somebody's fired a gun, they say, well, is there anybody shot? I say, not yet, you know. And you know, but you really you hope for protection under the law. And that, I think at this point, that's what Paul's talking about. He's talking about there's protection under the law. And, you know, I really remember this because, you know, I had several years where I was not the best person. I was a bad boy, okay? And I did things that if I were frisked at any moment, I would have been in the back seat of a police car. And my dad owned all these donut shops, right? And you know who comes in all the time are policemen. And so I knew a lot of policemen by name, and I stand next to them, and sometimes I get a little nervous, you know. Hey, how you doing there, you know? Hoping that they didn't smell anything on me or anything like that, you know. And then I became a Christian. I became a Christian, and Jesus Christ became the Lord of my life, and all those things just, you know, God took them away. And I remember standing, it seriously happened, I was at one of my dad's shops, and there was this policeman standing next to me, and I started feeling nervous, and I said, wait a minute, I've got nothing to be nervous about. I'm clean, you know, I'm right, I'm good. And that's what Paul's talking about. If you're doing what's right, you know, you don't have to worry about the police. They should be a friend. They should be someone you can, you know, look for help and not be afraid that they're going to come in and find something and take you away, right? And that's what he's talking about. He said, you know, they do not, do you want to be free? He said, you got to do what's right. You know, part of being a Christian, we've talked about, is this character that God changes in our lives. And part of that character means that we become, you know, good citizens, in the sense of we're not causing trouble, we're not pulling guns, we're not, you know, blowing things up, you know, 4th of July. We're not doing things that other people do, you know, on the edge of lawlessness. And so we should be able to look at those authorities, those immediate authorities, as someone to protect us. He says he's God's servant to do good, to do you good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword for nothing. He is God's servant, an angel, agent of wrath, to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. So I think you have, you know, these levels of government, these levels of problems. We're not supposed to rebel. We're not supposed to have a character that makes us an outlaw to the community. But again, if they outlaw Christianity, I'm an outlaw. If they outlaw Scripture, I'm an outlaw. You understand? In other words, that's the only thing that made, you know, again, Paul, Peter, all the apostles were, except for John, were put on trial at some point and executed, according to what we have in the Fox's Book of Martyrs. Therefore, it's necessary to submit to authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but because of conscience. This is also why you pay taxes, for the authorities are God's servants to give their full time to governing. Now, again, there's a thing called common grace that is present in this. God, you know, every nation has governments. Now, some governments are tyrannical. Some governments are purely evil. They're as evil as, you know, Nero was evil. And people that live under those, you feel for them because they really, you know, if you think of North Korea, if you've heard anything about North Korea, how evil that government is and how they have brainwashed generations of people, they have no concept of reality outside of what they've been told. And it is a very warped and twisted reality. And there's no room, obviously, for God, only for the leader. And I used to know Kim Jong-il. I don't remember his son's name, but you know that pure evil thing. But for most of us, we live in societies that protect us. I mean, again, I don't agree with the amount of protection. You know, like, do we really need to be dropping bombs all over? I praise God that's not my decision. But in regard to being a citizen, I'm told I need to pay taxes. If I don't pay taxes, I'm breaking the law, right? So you pay taxes. You pay taxes, you pay revenue, respect, and honor. Those are the things that we owe. And like I said, even when Paul was in front of Felix, he honored him. He said, you know, you were a judge for many years. And he began to talk to him. When Agrippa was there, he said, you know, sir, I know that, you know, you understand all the troubles that go on and the confusion in our land. And I want to explain to you, right? And he witnessed to him, though. That was the best part. He gave him the gospel while he was on trial. If you ever get a chance to be on trial for a good Christian offense, make sure you witness. You know, at least do that, you know. It's like, yeah. We pay our taxes. There was Justin, called Justin Martyr because they killed him. Justin wrote to the emperor. And the thing that got him killed was he was writing to the emperor trying to explain some things that were false that they thought about. They thought Christians were cannibals. Because of the table. They thought Christians, were rebellious against governments because we serve the kingdom and we have another king, right? So he wrote this treatise trying to explain, but they killed him for doing that. That's the price you pay for trying to educate the government. But nowhere is there room for that idea of rebellion. Jesus said, one of my favorite stories, right? They came up to him and said, sir, you know, should we pay taxes to Rome? Now, you remember, you're talking about Jewish people paying taxes to an occupying power. And Jesus says, give me a coin. He says, whose image is on that coin? He says, Caesar. He said, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. Our money, you know, Washington, Lincoln, Jefferson. Every once in a while you get a Ben Franklin, you know. Right. Give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. Give to Washington what belongs to Washington. Then he said, and give to God what belongs to God. Do You know what bears the image of God? His people. Give to God you. I love that statement of Jesus. You know, give yourself to God. Give your money to Washington. You know, it's a pretty cool thing. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, once, you know, you get the paper and ink, God gets what's real. So we live in a land, again, temporary governments, but they are established by God. God allows them to exist. It doesn't mean they're good. If you read the book of Revelation, the enemy rises up and uses these things. It will bring an end to this present evil age. But our place is not to rebel against them. Our place is to bear witness to Jesus Christ, to hold on to the truth of Scripture, to stand up in, even if our country is evil. Yes, that's the nature of our country. But we are God's people. We're not here to beat you over the head. We're not here to carry signs and say how evil you are. We're here to tell you that God is real. God is true. God can save you. And I'm talking about, you know, God loves you and wants you to repent. God wants you to come to Him and call on His name. Okay? We don't break the law. If we live under the moral standards of Christianity, we are so much far above that. We don't bend the law. I try to drive 5 miles under the speed limit sometimes, you know. On those long trips, it's hard. But, you know, it's like, but no, I mean, the point is to stay, to keep yourself in a reasonable respect of the law, above reproach in that regard, and we pay. We pay taxes. The hardest check I write every year is my check to Detroit. But I pay that check every year, you know? Yeah. But we do. We don't rebel. We don't fight. We stay in Christ, and we do what's right in God's eyes. All of this has to do with our relationship with God. Doesn't mean, you know, I'm not going to start wrapping myself in the flag. I'm not going to start talking about how beautiful and perfect America is. I live in Detroit. I know what America is. I know the other side of America. A lot of people want to talk about this glorious nation. They need to live here for 6 months and then talk about it. They need to see what's going on in America from this side and then talk about it. It might change their tone a little bit. But above everything else, we need to pray. Pray for our nation. Pray for, you know, repentance. Because young people growing up in this mess, they're not hearing about God. They're not seeing God. They're seeing murder of babies, homosexuality endorsed, and so much more injustice perpetuated by those who are in leadership. So we got to pray for them, help them to know who God is. So we come to this table. Why? Because we are from a different kingdom. We're of a different Lord. Jesus Christ is our Savior. He is our Lord. He brought us to a new kingdom. Doesn't mean that we're going to rebel against this kingdom around us. We're going to submit to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We didn't get there on our own. We didn't become members of the kingdom of God without the blood of Jesus Christ, without His body. And we have to remember that everybody around us with the blood of Jesus Christ can come into the kingdom of heaven, can change their allegiance, can become. So what do we need? We don't need rebellion. We don't need to scream at them. We simply need to say to them, come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Jesus is the way, the truth, and life. He's the way to the kingdom of heaven. Let's prepare our hearts for communion. And those who are going to help this morning, please come. Here we go. Thank you. thank you, Almighty God, for all that you have given us. We thank you, Lord, for the kingdom that is yet to come, for perfection that waits. King of kings and Lord of lords, with pure righteousness and justice, perfection of life, perfection of your presence. And we know that that kingdom came to us through Jesus Christ, our Savior, who died for our sins and rose so that we could be righteous. We pray to you, Almighty God, that you will help us to understand the depth of our need. We need our Savior. We need Jesus. We confess, O Lord, that we have not been perfect, that we have not been all that we should be. But we know that our Savior purifies us from all sin. We confess his name, his power, his glory, and we bow before him and want to submit totally. So, Father, as we take this cup, we give you thanks. And so Jesus took bread and he broke it. And he said, "This is my body. Take and eat." And he took the cup and he said, "This is blood for the forgiveness of sin, blood of a new covenant, the power of Jesus Christ to forgive us for all our sins. Take and drink." For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
wants to be prayed with this morning, come up here as we finish up the day right here. We'll just go right here. Just come right here and we'll pray with you this morning. There you go. And then those of you, yeah, come and help pray. If you know the Lord, you love to pray for people, come and pray. And we'll finish this day asking God's grace and God's blessing upon us, Almighty God. We come in the name of Jesus, and we come seeking you and asking for your help and your strength, God. Lord, we pray for your grace to be upon us. Oh, Lord Jesus, we need you so much. And these, God, have come saying they need special grace from you. And so we ask in the name of Jesus that you would impart special grace, Almighty God. Give strength, give wisdom, give love, give comfort. Give Almighty God the ability to deal with whatever's going on in their life, whatever's going on in their world, Almighty God. Let them know that there's a God who reigns on high, who sees them and knows them and walks with them, Lord. We ask God your blessing. In Jesus' name, go with us, O Lord. Protect us and keep us. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you.